Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Pastor Danny, and you are listening to a message from a great series titled Forgiveness. But this week I want to focus a little more on the heart. So I want to look at forgiveness and our hearts, okay? So we're going to go to God's Word and we're going to see what He has to say about our hearts and how that plays a part in forgiveness. So first of all, when you're going to go to Scripture and read verses where it talks about your heart, you need to know, well, what does that mean? Is it simply talking about this organ that beats 65 beats a minute, or is it something more? Well, when you look at Scripture, the heart has a much larger meaning. So let me just give you a general definition. The heart, when you read in the Bible, is the center or core of who you are. It's the real inner you, which includes your thoughts, your emotions, your morals, your feelings, your conscience. In other words, when Scripture talks about your heart, they're simply talking about the real you. If all this outer body, this outer shell and flesh and blood were gone, the real you is your heart. Okay? And Scripture makes that clear, and it's why when it talks about the heart, it'll talk about your thinking, it'll talk about your conscience, it talks about your morals. It's the real you. So when we go into Scripture and we start reading and looking what God says about the heart and forgiveness, the first thing we notice very quickly is that God says man has a heart problem. People have a heart problem. You could say a heart condition. And Scripture just clearly shows that God has seen and realized people have a heart issue. Jeremiah 5:23 says this, "But my people have a stubborn, rebellious heart. They have turned away and abandoned me." In Jeremiah 17:9, God said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Jesus said it this way in Matthew 15 and verse 8. "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." So God saw that people had a heart issue. We read a couple weeks ago, or possibly last week, how God brought a flood on the entire earth because people's hearts were wicked continually. And then instead of when the flood was over and Noah and his family were getting off the ark and the animals, they made a sacrifice to God. And it said, God then spoke and said, "I see that people's hearts are wicked, but I'm never again going to destroy every living thing because of man's heart condition." But God saw that there was and is a heart condition, a heart problem. And we see that in Scripture, God looking at the heart. When we begin opening it up and learning what God thinks, we realize that God said the heart is more important than the outward appearance. The real you is much more important than the appearance that we put on. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, we read the story of the prophet Samuel being sent, and he is sent to anoint a new king. Saul, the previous king, is no longer going to be king. And God comes to the prophet and says, "I need you to go anoint a new king. Go to the house of Jesse and anoint one of his sons to be the next king." When they anointed somebody, they would put oil in a horn and they would pour it over the person and pray and declare, and the Holy Spirit anointing would come on them for the job that God called them to. So Samuel comes to Jesse's house and he says, "Get your sons together. God has sent me here to anoint a new king." So Jesse gets all his sons together except one. And Samuel, in verse 7, He's looking at the eldest son. And the oldest son is tall, he's broad-shouldered, he's muscular, he is a perfect warrior. And Samuel thinks to himself, this must be the one. And in verse 7, God says to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so he went down the line of sons, but there are none there. And he asked Jesse again, is this all your boys? Because God hasn't chosen them. And Jesse says, oh, there is one more. It's just David, though. He wasn't even invited to the party. Did you guys catch that in this story? Think about it for a minute in our day and age. David obviously wasn't Dad's favorite son. As a matter of fact, you get the feeling Jesse didn't, you know, there's absolutely no chance they're going to pick him. He's just the guy who looks after sheep. Maybe he didn't even think, I don't think he's going to be manly enough to be a king. You know, because he goes out looking after the sheep, he sits under a tree playing a harp and singing. Tinkle, 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 the Lord is my shepherd. Maybe Dad had an issue. Whatever the case, he didn't bring him. He was not invited. Outward appearance, it said he was, you know, he was good looking, but he was small. Outward appearance, they didn't invite him. I need to say this to you today. Maybe in your life, you've been left out of the party. Or people spoke to you like, you'll never amount to anything. Or you know what? Yeah, there's no point. You don't need to be here because, you know, we're not picking you. Maybe you had a parent who didn't really feel you would amount to anything, and they said so. Can I tell you, God sees your heart. And God chooses people that we don't. God is not looking at the outward. He's looking at what's in here. And so David was anointed as the next king. God chose David because he saw his heart, that he was someone who would be obedient to him. He also saw that he was someone that was humble enough to admit when he made a mistake. That's a whole nother message about leading. God looks at the heart. It's far more important to him. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In other words, the way you think in your heart is who you really are. Luke 6 and verse 45, Jesus says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Another version says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, the real you is your heart, and what you pour into the real you determines who you are. What you speak and eventually how you act. Our heart, God wants it to be made right. When I was thinking of this in these scriptures, it was interesting because this past week I had something happen where I was having to look at my heart. And I'll tell you the situation, but most of you don't know my morning routine. When I wake up, it takes me a bit to actually wake up. I wake up and I can walk, but I'm actually still half asleep. And I walk to the kettle and I turn it on and I make instant coffee. And I'm still not really awake. So one morning this week, I was doing my routine where I'm barely awake and somebody said something to me and I didn't hear it. And somebody else said something, I didn't hear it. And then one of my daughters said something, and in my half asleep state, I just grouched back. I don't even know what I said. but I know my body language, my tone. Everybody in the house was just a little bit shocked. And I hadn't even been up 10 minutes and I had to apologize to everybody in the house. But I came to church that day and I really thought about it because I knew I'm doing a message on the heart. And I went to prayer and I said, Lord, maybe I've got some deep issues because I was really, like it was really quite grouchy. And so I was praying about it a little bit and all of a sudden God reminded me of what I was doing the night before I went to sleep. I was like, oh, that could do it, couldn't it? But so the night before, for an hour and a half, right before I went to sleep, I know you're thinking your pastor should have been praying for an hour before he went to sleep, but I wasn't that night. I like sports, and I was checking out on YouTube the recent boxing fight that had happened between the two heavyweights, and so I was checking that out, but then I had to check out, you know, the stuff that came up to the fight where they're arguing, and then the commentaries of everybody who argues and fights, and then I went to sleep. Well, when I woke up, the abundance of my heart was arguing and fighting, and you got to win. And that's what came out. And when God made that real to me, I was a little bit relieved, actually. So I thought, oh boy, what is this? And it is that simple for some things. Now, there's other things in our hearts that may be from years and years ago, and we've buried them, and we need some healing, we need some help with it. But it can also be that simple. It can also be as simple as you've spent too much time getting involved in the political battles right now, and then you bark at your spouse or you're upset at your coworker, and it has nothing to do with them, but you've filled yourself with the battles of politics. Or possibly your heart is fearful because you've spent so much time checking out the latest disease all across the earth. You're weary and you're fearful because that's what you've poured in. Don't do it. Pour into yourself things like Psalm 91, where no plague should come near your dwelling. Pour into yourself what you want your heart to be full of. And what your heart is full of when you're squeezed, when you're in the moment, when you're not guarded, what will come out will be good. As one person said, if you squeeze a lemon, you get lemon juice. What you really are is on the inside, and it usually shows in moments of pressure. We have the ability to be guarded and, I'll say, sometimes act. But you know, when we give a message, when we talk about Scripture, God is not asking us to become amazing actors and actresses. He doesn't want us to go around being fakes. And sometimes we get good at acting, but God's not saying for us to act. God wants us to have pure hearts, but not as actors. And he said this really clearly in Matthew chapter 23 and 25 to 28. Jesus was talking to the religious leaders of his time. And he said, great sorrow awaits you, religious scholars and Pharisees, frauds and imposters. You are like one who will only wipe clean the outside of the cup or the bowl, leaving the inside filthy. You are foolish to ignore the greed and self-indulgence that lives like germs within you. And this is the Passion Translation, if anybody's wondering why it's a little bit expanded here. Verse 26, you are blind and deaf to your evil. Shouldn't the one who cleans the outside also be concerned with cleaning the inside? You need to have more than clean dishes. You need clean hearts. In verse 27, he repeats the statement again. Great sorrow awaits you, religious scholars and Pharisees, frauds and imposters. You're nothing more than tombs painted with fresh coats of white paint. Tombs that look shining and beautiful on the outside, but within are found decaying corpses, full of nothing but corruption. Outwardly you masquerade as righteous people, but inside your hearts are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Here is Jesus talking to religious people who have become unbelievably good actors. They knew the right way to walk. They knew the right steps to take. They had memorized the right actions. But the heart wasn't clean. And Jesus was trying to get it across to them. No, 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 you need your heart to be made right. don't just become amazing actors. And I want to say that, church, he's never in this word asked us to just be actors. If there's something going on in the heart, bring it to him. Let him deal with it. Now, I guess I got to say, if I'm saying acting, I'm not talking about acting in a play or a skit, or maybe someone has a desire to be an actor in a movie someday. Those are fine. I'm just saying in real life, don't be an actor. Who likes acting like plays or skits? Is there anybody here who likes that? It's okay. Like, you can say yes. After that message, like, I'm not going to show him. He might think I'm an actor. Who has ever had the thought they want to act in a movie someday? Anybody? Sure. A few people said yes to that. Why not, right? There's some good Christian movies that change people's lives, and they had to have actors. So I do want to say that. If you have a desire to act in that type of thing where you're helping people, go for it. That's not what I'm talking about. But in real life, let's be real. With one another, let's be real. And if there is something in our heart that's not healthy, let's not just cover it and hide it. Let's bring it to God. Because God said in his word that our hearts need to be cleaned. They need to be made new. And the good thing about the God we serve is when he comes to us and says, hey, you need this, we know he's going to tell us how. In Psalm 51, verse 9, David is praying to the God and he says, hide my sins from your face, erase my guilt by your saving grace, create in me a new, clean heart, fill me with pure thoughts and holy desires ready to please you. David knew at that time in his life he had a heart issue, and he said, God, clean me, make me new. Jeremiah 31 and verse 33, the same book where I read the verse earlier that God said, my people have rebellious, stubborn hearts. In the same book, here is God once again through the same prophet speaking to his people. And it's Jeremiah 31, verse 26. I may have given you the wrong number there. And he says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Here's the same God who realized there's a heart problem, and he comes up with the solution. He does not ask you to do something that he won't show you how and be the biggest part of it all. That's the kind of God you serve. He came up with a solution for making clean new hearts. And the solution is forgiveness. He came up with a solution to change your and my heart, and it is forgiveness. Forgiveness that begins with confession. I need to say this because it's an important part of forgiveness in your heart. Proverbs 21 and verse 2 is a verse that says this, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. Sometimes people have a tendency to feel like whatever I do is right. Don't correct me. Don't tell me anything. I am right. That's a tendency we all have. Don't feel bad if you've ever thought that. That's a human tendency to think we're right, they're wrong. It's just the first reaction thought we'll have. But God said, I weigh the hearts. I see the hearts. In other words, let me decide what's right and wrong and where maybe your heart needs help. For you and I, the beginning of forgiveness is actually us being humble enough to realize we need forgiveness. This is really important because you don't experience forgiveness if you're too proud to admit there was an issue. Do you understand this? I'm talking, of course, about our forgiveness with the Lord, but also forgiveness and healing between people. Okay? This works vertical, but it also works horizontal. You want a heart that's not bitter? You want a heart that's free and joyful? Then you need to practice forgiveness. You need forgiveness from him, you need forgiveness from others, and you need to give forgiveness to others. And it begins with words that come from a humble enough place to say, I need forgiveness. Pride is the one thing that will stop people from accepting Christ. Pride is the one thing that will cause us to have a bitter heart and not go to someone and say, forgive me. Pride makes a hard heart in a hurry. Think about it for a minute. Lucifer, or the devil, was initially, if you want, he was the worship leader of heaven. And in him was created the musical instruments, right in him. And it also said he was good looking. And he allowed pride to come in. A worship leader with angels as his choir. But he allowed pride to come in. He said, I will be like the Most High. I will. And you can find that in Scripture. He allowed pride, and it caused him to be cast out of the kingdom of heaven. And you know the story from there. Here we now have Satan, who is angry and trying to destroy God's people. But a heart that's humble says, you know what? I know I've messed up. I'm going to make this right. If it's to God, then we go to God and make it right. If it's to other people, then we go to other people and say, hey, I'm sorry. I messed up. Forgive me. Humbleness and words. Hosea 14, 1 and 2. It says, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for your sins have brought you down. Listen. Bring your confessions and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sin and graciously receive us so that we may offer you our praises. Another version says, take with you words. In other words, take words, use words. True forgiveness requires you to be humble and then use words. You can't just in your mind, well, I'm done with it now, if that's fine. I'm not going to talk to God. I'm not going to talk to the person. Everybody should just know it's fine. That's not what Scripture said. It says take words. Go and say, hey, I'm sorry. If it's your spouse and you know, boy, I shouldn't have done that. Go use words. If it's your coworker, use words. If it's a friend, use words. If it's an enemy, use words and say. And the saying, Lord, forgive me for my sins, is the most humble thing you can say because you admit you need him. Going to a person and saying, forgive me, I've done wrong, is one of the most humble things you can do because you admit you're not perfect. But it allows forgiveness to happen. It gives you the clean heart God desires. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14 said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Jesus, of course, is the only one who can bring true forgiveness between us and the Father. He is the one who made forgiveness possible because he hung on that cross. He shed his blood. He paid the price once and for all that forgiveness can come to you and I. In Luke 4, 18 and 19, Jesus, while he was on this earth, very clearly told people what his purpose was. He read from Isaiah, and he read, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Did you hear where he talks about the heart? He came to heal the broken heart. A broken or wounded heart needs someone to heal it. A heart that is bitter needs someone to forgive it. a heart that is heavy and ready to give up needs a Savior. Do you hear me? We have a Savior. His name is Jesus. I don't know what's happening in your heart. I don't know if you're one that's maybe been wounded and the wound is still not fixed. I don't know if you're one that's been hurt and instead of a wound, there's now a hard, bitter, angry heart. Or maybe you're the one that the heart is so heavy, you wonder why you bother getting out of bed. But I have a solution for that heart. It comes from this book and it begins with forgiveness. Every one of those situations I meant, they can be healed with forgiveness. Honestly, forgiveness does not say the other person is right. Forgiveness says, I'm not going to hold this. I'm not going to let it run my life any longer. I will not be connected to the wrong. I'm giving it to Him. I will be free. And I'll walk free. And too many of us have allowed our hearts to become crowded with the offense of last week, last month, last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Cleaning time. Some of us have hearts that look like a hoarder's house. Things are piled up. There's no more room. Why are we collecting offense and wrongs? And I know what I'm speaking about right now. We've all been there. I didn't say it's going to be easy. If you've ever met a hoarder and you try to help them clean their house, it's almost terrifying. I didn't say it's going to be easy, but it's the right thing. You need to let God clean some of that stuff out because it's killing you. It's literally killing you. It's taking your joy. It's taking your passion. And yes, if it's causing you stress, it actually has the power to kill you. Let it go. Give it to Him. Forgive it and no longer live it. Thank you so much for joining in with us today. Hey, if you'd like to know more about Abundant Life Worship Center and what we do here, you can check us out on our website at www.alwc.church. God bless.